let the Priss talk continue.
I was always a fan. I thought Priss was a good character.
Yeah.
She had a good death.
Fun
to watch in a horrible sort of way.
Yeah. And I've been just knee deep in semi sentient AI of late, so turns out that there is one Commander Data that got emotions for a little bit, and that went fucking haywire.
Never trust a brother who promises to give you emotions.
Yeah. Trap. Every time.
And gives
it to
you.
I don't care if you love that man.
And it like your emotions are under his fingernail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
right?
Weird.
Yeah, that's some kind of nail bed fungus. I can't be a part of that.
Right, that's gonna be more than an ointment.
Nope.
That's gonna be a surgery.
That's a cream. It's definitely like a very thick cream. You have to apply like 3 times a day. It's really annoying. You can't wash it off.
Yeah, right. And it's going to smell to high heaven, too.
Yep, and everybody you work with is going to be able to smell it, and you're just going to be that guy that's stank ass because you had rotten thumbnails.
You got fucking anger nail.
Yeah, you might as well just take the week off and just hide it completely.
It's a good idea. Kind of in general, really. Take off work, just hide for a week. I like that. Hey, guys. It is the Shotcast. It is clearly a podcast about video games, and it is. I've actually been playing a lot of shit of late, and
like a lot of shit or like a lot of shit.
Are you saying the shit is shit?
The shit isn't worth shit.
So the shit is good.
Shit isn't shit.
I'll do fucking Running Scared all night, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's start over. a Peter Hyams film.
Fade in.
Right.
We see the city. It's foggy.
Yeah. Chicago. A winter street. Yeah. Oh, I could do it all. Oh, no.
It's turning
bad. Yeah, this went south in a hurry. So
we should just do, to get this out of our systems... I was going to say we could do a spoiler cast for Running Scared, but what we should really do is just a reenactment cast.
Yeah, if there is any interest, we should just do a commentary track of us that being like, this movie's awesome.
send an email to SDF Gaming. No, what the fuck is our email address?
I thought it was SDFGaming@SDFGaming.com.
That's right, that is.
Keeping it nice and simple.
I made it easy to remember. So I could begin.
Send
all ideas there, because we totally check that email all the time.
clearly. You know, like, if you check it now, like, the inbox is going to be nothing but death threats.
But oh, shit. Five people in this inbox committed suicide.
Death threats of increasing concern, though. Like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Hey, why aren't you replying to this? Hey, is everything okay? I mean, before I kill you, I just want to make... I'm worried.
Don't do this to me.
Trying to ghost on me, motherfucker.
Why are you doing this to me?
At any rate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all very silly. Video games is where this all began. We talk about them. I've been playing them. Not the shitty ones. I've just been playing a lot of them. And I'm excited to talk about those games. But first, we have business to attend to. We have co-hosts to introduce and recent events to discuss. And we begin, as always, with Justin McFerrin. How are you, sir? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. Man, just been super busy with work. Haven't had a ton of time to play any extra games, though Dolan and I did get in a little Hellebore. We'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, not too much has been going on. I have just been slammed at work.
Like, are you working for wrestling now? What's going on?
Yeah, I've been body slammed. I've been...
choke slammed, I would assume.
The people's elbowed.
Wow. That's a rough office.
Yeah. Stone Cold stunned.
What is that? I don't even know what move that is.
Cold stunner?
Yeah, is that like jamming the heel of your palm into someone's nose? Like it...
If I remember correctly, you kick the guy in the stomach, and he bends over, and then you put essentially put his head between your legs, and then you jump up in the air, and obviously he's jumping up in the air a little bit with you, and then you both come down, and I guess the trauma is supposed to be like something happened to your neck, but really it's just two guys jump up in the air at the same time, and then they hit the mat, and it makes a loud noise, and then one guy acts like he's hurt.
Makes the mat go boom real loud.
Yeah. I think the finishing moves in wrestling are like sometimes the easiest ones for them to perform. You know what I mean?
Sure. The ones you got to do night after night. Yeah, you don't want to make that super complicated.
Right.
Who's the guy that was it Sergeant Slaughter that did the claw or something like that, and like he couldn't control it, like his hand had a mind of its own or something like that?
I think that was my dad.
Oh my god, it's the claw.
Yeah, no, if memory serves, totally my dad.
Not the claw. We've exhausted my knowledge of professional wrestling. So.
Yeah, but I was actually thinking about this the other day, because I don't know shit about professional wrestling at all. Even like when it was popular when I was a kid, I had a flirting interest with it. I was somewhat familiar, I didn't watch a bunch of the WrestleManias and stuff like that.
No.
I watched enough to know who Hulk Hogan was and Sergeant Slaughter and all that shit. But I was wondering, is there a good wrestling game anymore? I hear all the big ones, at least, are kind of crap. And that seems disappointing because I could get into... I could enjoy a wrestling game, I think, more than wrestling. Or watching wrestling, you know what I mean?
I feel like the best ones were probably in the Super Nintendo era. That's where you're looking at the best bang for your buck. I can definitely remember there being some WrestleMania games that are just great.
Well, we're all about value here at the Shotcast.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan of just the original NES Pro Wrestling. The one where it had the dude with the star on his face and there was a fishman in it.
Yeah.
It was a really good wrestling game. It was fun.
Yeah. I just kind of wish there were something like every time I see one of them UFC games or something, I'm maybe that's cool, in the same way that I like a good racing game, but I have no interest in watching racing. But
how true.
That's up there with soccer in terms of sports and sports adjacent activities. That I just couldn't give a shit less about.
I'd play 8 more Hot Shots Golfs, but I ain't never gonna go play golf again.
Yeah.
No, it turns out golf is a lot of work.
And also just knock it off. It's just so dumb. Yeah. It's just hitting a ball with a stick and chasing after it. It's stupid. I mean, not to just quote Carlin all over the place, but I think we ought to what was it, raise all the golf courts and turn it into homeless shelters,
and then
do something good with that real estate.
That's right. And in his next breath he's like, we got to turn over all the cemeteries, get that nutrients back into the soil.
Yeah.
Cemeteries and golf courses are the biggest waste of real estate in the world. That's what he said.
Well done, thanks.
He's a man, George Carlin. I was literally just having an email conversation with my mother yesterday about George Carlin, in which I said the thing that I always say when George Carlin is brought up, and that is, if I had a wish that I could use to bring someone back from the dead, I would use it to bring back George Carlin. The man was a fucking genius.
Yeah. I've had that very conversation not so long ago about, I wish I could hear him talk about the world today.
Just stuff.
Yeah. Just
you guys shit. Already messed up. he, you know, it's one of those weirdo wishes that doesn't go the way you want it to go.
It's the monkey's paw.
You got a zombie George Carlin in your house, and he's not telling any kind of jokes.
An Alex Jones type, he comes back all right wing on us.
Yep. Starts marching with the white supremacists, you know. The voice of white supremacy, George Carlin.
There were some fine people.
You're just like, death really changes you.
Yeah. Man.
Crossover.
He's never been funny since he was dead.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's how it always goes, though.
Hey, that other...
I don't plan on being this funny when I'm dead, so...
I don't know. It depends on how you play it, I think.
It's true.
You know, one of the best suicide ideas I ever heard was you have to leap to your death for this, but before you do, you stuff your pockets with candy. So when you hit the ground, it's like, oh my god, he must have been so sad, but oh, Snickers.
Suicide pinata, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, if everyone's gonna die, have a little fun with it is all I'm saying. You know?
What kind of candy are you stuffing your pockets with in that?
Smarties.
Oh,
nice. That's good. Yeah. It's clean the blood. Clean it off.
Yeah, but once they bust, they're just rolling everywhere.
You want to do it right. You want people to run up to you like your mangled body where you might be kind of still breathing and there's like a big pool of blood starting to form. And they're looking at all the candy and they're like, damn, dude bought full-size candy bars. Like, they're super impressed. You know, you got full Hershey's with you or something.
Oh, yeah, Rolos then. Just like pockets and pockets of Rolos. Man, this guy must have been a billionaire.
Because, I mean, how many times do you commit suicide? I mean, if you're doing it right, just the one. That's so... true.
Right.
Yeah, but I think Rolos is a great idea. I think you mix in some Tootsie Rolls. I just think you do. I think it's it's a real ham and egg kind of snack.
Like, give the people a sampler. Like, get some Big League Chew pouches in there. A couple of full size Charleston Chews. You know?
I mean, if you want to go cargo pants, sure.
Yeah. Some of those Lick-A-Made things where you dip the sugar stick in the sugar powder and you eat the sugar.
I mean, if we're opening this up to the cargo pants, I mean, for that matter, let's just shove a deli tray.
You could put on a fucking like military rucksack and just fill it with candy if you want. You can do whatever you want.
Man, that would be a sight, and also a fantastic report to read from the police of like, look, he seemed very troubled, but also delivered delicious candies, which, by the way, we had to pick up every single one of.
No, I got your headline. Man in suicide vest full of candy.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
You've got, it's like you're going to blow yourself. Yeah. They think you're going to blow yourself up, then you just kill yourself. And they're like, whoa, yeah, it looked like... And they start cutting this thing open, and it's just all those Reason caramel candies.
Hey, or Bob. Gobstoppers.
If it's the New York Post headline, it would be, what, like, Willy Plonka and the chocolate suicide?
Wow. Wow. Some, Augustus Gloop has met his match.
That's right.
Hey, I was in the midst of introducing John before all that happened. John Dolan, how are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing the exact same thing for months straight, doing homework, going to work, sleeping, eating, shitting. It's just like, fit in some video games where I can. So I'm on, like, graduate mode now. I just keep taking class after class to knock this shit out, and that is my life. So, not much to report. I don't watch the news. I don't give a shit about what's happening in the world. I'm too busy.
I mean, how could you even care at this point?
Yeah. So, but I have fit in a few games, which is a nice place to take a break when you're busy. So.
Man, I got some play out of my Switch this week in a real crunch hospital environment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, that felt good. And
make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, I even had a guy, and it wasn't at the main hospital. And just to be clear for listeners who are like, holy shit, is Bo finally, you know, getting that stomach stable? No, that's not what happened. My mom was having some arm surgery, so I went to one of them satellite buildings. Not quite hospital proper, but nearby, in case something goes wrong, I guess. Like, hey, the hospital's right over there, so if this all goes south, it, you know, it's across the parking lot. But, yeah, so while she was having that done, I'm playing Switch in the waiting room. And one of the guys there in the same boat I was in, a young lad, probably in his early 20s, sees me playing a little Zelda, which I'm prone to do, you know, here and there. And just gave me that, like, nod of, like, what's going on there? And I
what are you playing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Is that, that's a Switch, right? And I was like, yeah, man. And gave it to him. And it was one of those moments he was like, yeah, I haven't really played around with one of these yet, but I've been thinking about getting one. And I was like, yeah, check this shit out. And he rolled through a couple of games. And it's like working for the best cult ever.
Yeah.
Because, like, you got a good product. And you're just like, hey, man, have a little taste. And immediately he's just like, fucking, this is great.
They should start, like, a multi-level marketing
campaign
where they get you to sell Switches, and then you sell Switches to people, and you convince them to sell Switches, and the money just kind of slowly filters towards you.
Oh, it might help with their supply and demand issues on a couple of their products.
Mm-hmm. If you buy 10 Switches today, you can get them for 15% off, which you then resell to your friends, but you only give them a 10% discount.
You see where I'm getting...
You know, but I will say this. I was grabbing something off Amazon Prime today, and there was, sure enough, like a Nintendo Switch was like, hey, you want this delivered to you today? And I was like, man, I've already got one, but fuck, those things are so good, I might just do it.
They almost got you.
Yo, a second time, I was double dipped on a console. Yeah.
Maybe I won't have access to one for some reason. Having that second one would be nice.
I mean, just in case. Maybe make that one just for the shower.
Yeah. I'll put it in the spare the spare tire compartment in the back of the car. Just in
case. Right. Just in
case. Yeah. I don't need that spare tire. I'd rather have a Switch in there anyway.
Hey, I mean, I guess let's just get right down to it. Let's talk about some video games.
Yeah.
Speaking of Switches and whatnot. Justin, what you been playing, man? All right, let me begin by asking this. What the fuck is are all these Arma mods about that just showed up in the email chain?
Justin's been giddy lately because we've been playing Arma 3 with him.
Yeah, so we've been playing Arma 3 in your absence of some gaming. It's just, you know, fun stuff. There's some sound mod that just makes the sounds a lot cooler, more realistic. There's like a Ace, which is just like a kind of just changes the way you interact with things in the game. It makes it so you don't have to use so many stupid button combinations. There's like a thing that'll make it so we don't shoot each other. The Shack Tech UI thing, it'll just kind of like show you where, you know, our friends are at. Anyway, yeah, we're gonna load this up. We're gonna play some missions, you know? We're gonna go find Osama or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, no big whoop. Let's just get in there and murder.
I've been playing a lot of Arma 3, as you can probably tell. I'm up to about 460 hours in that game now. Past that...
That's a very long time.
That's a big number.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
You're nowhere near as bad as many other people are.
That's true. That's very true. Got into a little Helleborn a couple, I guess it was last week. Dolan and I got into that. That is a third per. Well, you know, I want to say third person. I would say it's mainly third person. It is only. It yeah. really isn't. You can play in first person, but it is not advisable.
Sucks.
It's like a helicopter simulation game. I think the closest comparison would be something like a World of Tanks or whatever the other one is with.
World of Warships?
Well, what's the one with airplanes? Also, that's
World
like
of
free
Airships.
Words of air, yeah, kind of world.
Sure.
Of insert flight.
Gotcha.
Air of ship wars.
Yeah, yes. That one.
Shipping wars.
It is definitely
off-world
early
trading
access.
Company.
There you go. Yeah. Stellaris. It's definitely early access.
Yeah.
I want to say that a good 20 minutes, 30 minutes of our time. Was spent trying to figure out how we could play the game together.
God. It was so impossible.
Yeah. The UI in this game is absolutely atrocious, and there are buttons that seemingly do nothing.
Yeah.
Making you think they're doing things.
Stairways to nowhere.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Absolutely that house. It's that
circle
house.
Back around. Oh, you need to select a squadron. Okay, you've selected a squadron. Now hit save, and you hit save, and you go back to the screen where it says, you should select a squadron.
Yeah. Like, oh, right, man. Okay. And there's just all these different things. Like, there's, like, divisions. Like, you can start a match that's, like, a number, Roman numeral 1, or a 2, or a 3, and that's, like, different levels or of helicopters, I guess, or vehicles you can get into.
Something like, that is not in the game yet.
Exactly. The buttons are there, but nothing exists in the game to correlate to it. So, yeah. Anyway, once you actually get into the game, it's not that half bad.
No, it's fun to fly those helicopters around.
Yeah. You're probably best suited mouse and keyboard. Your same basic controls as like even something like a Wildlands. I mean, you're looking at shift to go up, space to go down, and then your mouse is gonna kind of control where you're pitching and yawing and stuff, as well as WASD. And then it'll give you like the maps are fairly decently sized. Obviously, it's helicopters, and then it'll say, you know, like go to this area and clear out the enemy and. Like, this is more like Vietnam and then Afghanistan with, like, Russians type era, so, like...
Did you play single player on other maps?
No, the only thing I ever played was... I played a little single player, but it was, like, the Vietnam, the Hueys and stuff.
That was part of the co-op problem that we were having, was it appears that only one of the four maps on the screen... can you actually get to via, like, the co-op menu, so...
Let's just say they have some lofty ambitions, you know what I mean? Like, they're really paying it forward with the UI and, like, what they want to be in the game. Let's just hope it catches up.
Well, and they need to have more, like, content, you know, like, tasks to do. Like, there was basically two. There was take over an area... by dropping troops there or blow up everything in the area. And those are basically your two mission types. There was like chase down a boat every once in a while. But those things are fun to do, but that's it. That's all that's in there right now. At least that's all that we saw.
Well, and you can pay up to $47 for Helleborn.
Really?
Can you?
No.
What is $47 get you?
I'm glad you asked. Justin, what do I have to get you into the Winter Complete Edition today?
Oh, jeez.
You're going to get the
for
game.
For only $34.66. It's on sale right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, $46.49 on sale. You get the Polish Armed Forces Camouflage Pack.
Oh, ooh.
You get the Czech and Slovak Air Force camouflage pack. Mm, you get an exclusive camouflage pack.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to get yourself... Look, enough of them. How about a civil aviation camouflage pack?
Are you holding these camouflage packs at an angle in front of the camera with which you can like reflect light into the lens while you're talking about it?
Like oh,
back into the
right,
camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you saying are these foil wrapped? Yes. the search
and special foil editions of the DLC.
Search and Rescue Camouflage Pack, Law Enforcement Camouflage Pack, U.S. Marine Corps Camouflage Pack, Russian Federal Security Service Camouflage Pack.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got to have their own thing.
Air Show Camouflage Pack, German Camouflage Pack.
Oh, okay,
it just keeps on going.
East Germany Camouflage Pack, and of course, the camouflage, the winter camouflage.
Oh, pack. Well, of course, yeah. The
that's a lot of value. That's a lot of value.
That yeah, is. Boy, it ain't even a soundtrack. You can go right to hell.
I'd be willing to wager at least $20 that when you get into the game, there's no menu to use all this stuff that you can
Absolutely. Also, we don't even need to get into the gratuitous soundtrack that's just like
Jesus, yeah.
A rehash of all of the Vietnam songs you've ever heard, just looping incessantly in the background, but yeah. Slightly
this sounds,
not.
This sounds like
the correct
47
version.
Seconds of CCR or something.
Yeah.
You guys not really. Are not really selling me on this game.
But it's fun to fly the fucking helicopters. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the only problem.
Yeah, it's fun to fly those helicopters. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
It's
one
like
of these days,
you know,
somebody will make
there...
a good helicopter game.
Yeah, I mean that's what we were kind of saying. I think the other night is there's. Day. No. There's nothing else that's just like a casual helicopter game.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
There's definitely a market for that. There's absolutely a market for a really fun, almost competitive helicopter game, but I don't think this is going to be the one.
Yeah, but you got to mix it up. You got to have, like, give me some rescue missions. Give me some combat missions. Like, let me do helicopter shit. I want to.
Maybe that's coming.
Stuff up from a hook. Maybe
it does not say early access anywhere on this page.
Does it not? Okay. Well, then I could be very wrong. I don't like that. No. Then I definitely didn't pay. Didn't get.
No.
Into
I think I got it
for
like
$13
or something. Yeah,
maybe?
$13.39, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So
it's fun flying those helicopters, but that's about it.
We can do all that stuff in
there's
Arma
a lot
3.
Of potential. Like it seems like you could have some cool mission types in here. Like when we first started playing it, I was just saying, well, this is kind of like Choplifter. I kind of like you go here, you pick up some dudes, you bring them over to this other military base. Like you're shuttling them around, they hop out and start shooting up the base. You can pop up in the air and fire rocket pods at, you know, gun emplacements and things and blow up vehicles and shit. Like, it's cool. He's not lying, man. It took us like a half an hour to get into a co-op.
Yeah, I would like to. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
Sometimes I may exaggerate, but it is no deal. We were both laughing out loud. After 10 minutes, it was just
painful laughs. Yeah. Of,
good stuff.
The helicopter games are always like a component of another game. Like the things. I enjoy helicopters, and like DayZ has good helicopters, and Wildlands has a pretty good helicopter. But there's never like a helicopter game that's not like that does the right kind of what you're saying, Justin. It does the right balance between simulation and arcadey.
Yeah, they all either want to be like a direct simulation, or like you said, you're just flying helicopters in Arma.
Yeah,
because they do it.
Like
well
if
enough.
They could add. Different types and more missions and things in Wildlands, that would be a great thing to add to that game. Because they've got the map variety and they've got all those, you know, bases and things, and if they can just do like the kind of the upgrade model that GTA 5 does where they just keep adding more shit to the game, just start doing that with Wildlands. Like it's a perfect game for that. Just dump more content in there that you can either choose to engage with or not. I think they can make some more money doing that. And then I could have a decent helicopter game.
Call this guy up.
All right. Yeah. We've got a plan.
Make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, an idea machine, as we've often said about this show.
We should also, as a part of our multi-level marketing thing, we should sell DLC for Helleborn as a part of that.
I hear camouflage packs are real hot right now.
If a Nintendo Switch is out of your range, I've got the perfect thing for you. Have you heard of Helioborn?
You don't even need the game. Yeah. All you need is the camouflage pack.
You can trade them. You can sell them off.
You can look at them.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. They're great for kids. Kids love them.
Foil edition.
You can pay Bitcoin.
Oh, I accept Bitcoin. I'm putting that out right now. If you want to mail some Bitcoin to sdfgaming@sdfgaming.com, you go right ahead.
I might email you some Bitcoin and a raccoon.
It's going to become a euphemism. And then he emailed her some Bitcoin.
Right. That means he's now facing jail.
Yeah, they arrested him right outside of her apartment. It was ugly.
Yeah. Aww. He was coming right at her with his Bitcoin.
He was mailing her Bitcoin. Like, you just don't do that in today's society. That is unacceptable.
It's 2018. Them days is gone.
Long gone.
Time's up.
Like, do you remember what it was like when you used to be able to do that? It was horrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never did it myself.
No, I mean, you couldn't even go outside. You couldn't walk the streets in your hometown. Because people were mailing Bitcoin around all the time.
Just Bitcoin.
I'm done now.
All right. I'm done enabling. Anything else, Justin?
No, sir.
All right. John, I feel like we already started with you.
I played Helioborn as well, but I think we've bagged on it enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to totally trash it because I had a good time once we got into it. So.
But also, yes. Like, I don't know this game from nothing, but looking at the store page was like, I don't know if I like this game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with it, or if it just gets abandoned in its current state. So, I don't know. We shall see. I bought... Let's see, how many times do I own this game? I think just... Oh, this is my third time. The Shadow of the Colossus remake for PS4.
Nice. I haven't touched that yet. How is it?
Oh, man, it's real good.
It looks negative. Pretty.
There's one negative.
It controls like The Last Guardian?
No. It controls a lot like the original Shadow of the Colossus, but one of the coolest things they did was there's an alternate control scheme that is more of a modern take on how games control is the default setting, but you can choose to play it like the old style where the buttons are kind of in weird places. But now it makes more sense. Like, to shoot the bow, you just aim with, I believe it's just the shoulder buttons. You hold down a shoulder button and it'll draw the bow, and then you can just move the camera around. And previously it was some weird, it was a button press and then you had to aim or some shit. I can't even remember how it used to work, but the controls are way less awkward because of that. But the camera behaves almost exactly the same, and it does that shit that you probably hate just as much as I do from The Last Guardian, where when you move the camera, it immediately starts to settle back to a position that it chooses. And it'll drive you insane.
Right, right, right.
But it's not nearly as bad as the one that was in The Last Guardian. Like, that shit was just straight up broken sometimes. And it's in no way... Like, if you played the original Shadow of the Colossus and enjoyed it, it's basically no different from that as far as the camera is concerned. I love that fucking game. I beat the game a couple of times. So it hasn't bothered me other than... The solution to that is to just have it wait for a few seconds before it settles back to where it wants to go. Like, if they just let you position the camera and hold it for a few seconds, because right now, as soon as you let go, it starts drifting back. So you can't focus the camera yourself on anything. Because it just immediately slides away from where you were pointing it. If they just let it pause for a few seconds, it would be fine. It would be perfect. Other than that minor gripe, and it doesn't even really cause that big of a problem. Like, I've been just whipping through Colossi in that game. It looks fucking gorgeous. It is incredible looking what they did to this game. They added a photo mode that you can go in and move the camera around anywhere you want and just make these fucking epic pictures and It has like filters you can apply, like color filters, and you know, make it look like everything's icy and shit, like kind of more barren and washed out, or like super vibrant colors on everything. It's Shadow of the Colossus. It's real good.
All right, yeah, that seems cool.
It'll go on sale eventually, and if you're a multiple, like I have the original, I have the, they did like an HD version a while ago. I can't remember what the hell that was. I feel like
The PS3?
Potentially? I don't own that one. I played it somewhere though, because I wanted to see like if they, and I don't remember that one being all that different, and the graphical improvement in this one is dramatic. It's way, way nicer. I think they're selling it for $40, which is totally worth it. I don't know what else to say about it. Like,
yeah, I mean, Shadow of the Colossus, but
yeah, it's just great. As fun as it ever was, you know, it's fucking great. The music's great. The graphics are incredible now. The epicness of it all is still there. Go buy it. Like, what are you waiting for?
Right, yeah. It's one of the best games that ever was.
It's one of my favorite games of all time. Like, it was, like, I played it at a weird time. Like, I had a major surgery, and I was just off my feet for, like, a month and a half. And I just played that game over and over and over and over. It was so good.
Yeah. Any other games? Some from this century, maybe?
You're not gonna like it. I was just gonna say we've been playing a shit ton of PUBG again lately. I don't know what happened, but everybody was in the mood for murder, and that happened a lot the last few weeks. So
it's true.
It's one of my favorite Sinatra songs.
Right. That happened a lot the last few weeks.
In the mood for murder.
Yeah, see, Justin knows it.
Yeah, no. I thought mine was funnier. It's been happening a lot the last few weeks. The classic Sinatra song.
Yeah.
The fuck? It's been happening a lot.
All right, well, not to break out into Civil War here. The night the podcast went down over the most innocuous thing.
That's right. No, my joke was funnier, asshole.
No.
Right. My joke was funny. Fuck you.
The truth was, neither were that funny.
And no one was listening.
And yeah. And they screamed into the void once more.
Yeah, that's it for me, though. There's some other stuff, but I'll save it for another time.
All right. Quick little VR roundup. There is a game that I'm going to get the name of wrong again because I do it every time. Hang on. Vanishing Realms.
Yep.
Which is a VR dungeon crawler that I think is pretty cool. I don't know if it's... Is it early access? I guess not. I think it's a
no.
No, it's early access.
There's, is it like episodic or something? There's like they've released an episode or something like that of it already.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, each adventure will be between 1.5 and 2 hours of play.
Yeah.
Yada, yada. But I think it's real cool. It uses the kind of teleporty controls. And that's all right. Yeah, I mean, it works fine. I don't think it's great for that kind of combat. And I'd really like to have the option to use the joystick a little more, potentially. But all things being equal, I thought it was cool. Like, the first time I could pick up a torch and just light other torches on the wall with it around me, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And, yeah, the actual, you know, act of dungeon crawling in that game, I think, is cool. And you've played that one?
I believe I have. That one came out pretty early on in the VR days, so I think that's probably why you don't see the joypad movement in it like you see in some of the, or most of the newer games, I should say. They were, you know, everyone just thought pressing forward on your joypad and going forward was going to make literally everyone throw up every time, you know what I mean? But then people were like, oh, it's not that bad. But yeah, no, that's a good one. It's the, I feel like there's a couple dungeon crawlers that are out there, but that one in particular is the one to get, opposed to any of the other ones that I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played a bunch of them, but of all the stuff I looked at that was kind of an RPG-ish VR experience, that was the one that seemed the most legit.
Yeah, and it has absolutely great reviews.
I like the kind of, it's got kind of a cartoony sort of quality to it, but I really like it. You know, it like you're, even though you're immersed in that world, and that was kind of another question of VR I think that people had was, well, what if you're in kind of an environment that's not intended to be sort of photo real? What if it is all kind of cartoony and weird? And it turns out that's fine. And nobody cares.
No big deal.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was cool. And I've been spending a little time with Gorn, which is an arena game where you bash people in the face what come at you, and you use maces and flails and swords and spears to do so. And it's kind of a wave-based sort of thing, but I enjoyed that game quite a bit. I think that game is it. The best part of that game is after murdering someone, picking up their body and literally tearing them limb from limb. and then using one of their body parts to hit someone else. That's pretty fun. So, you know, sometimes you have things to work out. And that game helps. But,
sometimes you're basically
I'm glad you're finally getting help.
Yeah.
it's sort of them at like anger punching bags. Only in this case, it's a mace in people's faces.
Yeah.
You know, I watched My Friend Dahmer today, and you're really checking off a couple red flags here.
You know, if only they could be animals that I'm hurting, that would be better, probably. And
cute little rabbits.
Sure. I mean, Whatever. Whatever can maybe feel and potentially scream.
So that, the dark part of the show. It's always fun.
I'm trying to hit all of Justin's Dahmer boxes. Yeah. I just got a job at a chocolate factory.
Okay.
Anyway.
Uh-huh. On the list, yeah.
Yeah, this is all going in a real weird direction.
They didn't get to that part in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well, what a shame.
missed opportunity.
Yeah. Less interested now. I was interested in his work as a confectioner.
Yeah, boring. Boring movie.
It's an essential chapter in his character development.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So the meat of what I've been playing lately, aside from Assassin's Creed, but there's videos up on the site and blah blah blah, and I'm making my way steadily through that game, and I love it.
That game looks pretty cool. Like, I don't think I have time to play it right now, but I'm surprised at the direction they went with kind of the RPG-ness of it all. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, I love playing it. I haven't had a ton of time here in the past like week. I haven't had as much time to play in the quantity I had been. I had set quite a pace, but I think starting next week I can get back to really wasting a day like that. And I'm almost at the point in Assassin's Creed Origins where, like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's distant. But I can kind of see the spot in between me and the light that's like, once I get there, I'm just about done. And that's how I feel about that game right now. But I'm enjoying it. Like, it's not... That's a game that has never been a chore to play. I just... Once I start playing it, it's like, I'm going to be playing this for the next three, maybe 9 hours, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, that game's great, and I continue to play it.
Living the dream, man.
It's great. the other game, though, that I really want to talk about is Slay the Spire. Oh, shit, that game is fun.
It's not bad.
I like that game a whole lot. I mean, the thing I like about it is that it's like, it feels like legit early access, where it's like, look, the fundamentals of the game are all here. Here's a character that ain't even real yet. And the idea that, like, oh, we're going to kind of blow out some of the artwork in the game and also do some more cards and all that stuff, that all sounds appealing, and they've been doing weekly updates and substantial updates every time, by all accounts. So, at any rate, just to clear the air that, yes, this is an early access game, so if you're one of those people that's like, I ain't gonna play it till it's real, then this ain't for you. But, if you like Hearthstone, or... what's another like what's a good roguelike example? FTL I've heard a lot.
Darkest Dungeon
is maybe, that's why I responded to this game the way I have, is that I have such a love for Darkest Dungeon, and this kind of scratches that itch a little bit. But yeah, so it's a deck building card game roguelike dungeon crawler. Right?
Yeah. What are the, I'm going to hear, let me look at the tags on Steam. It's all of those things you said, but in like an interesting way. They're all molded together very well.
And so, like, you start off basically with nothing, with a bunch of dope cards. And I don't mean good cards, I mean like you're a dope for having them. Like protect cards and blocks and attack cards or strikes.
Like first tier basic ass one right. mana to use cards.
You get what, 5 of each or 6 of each, one of the two?
Yeah, something like that.
And you go out into the dungeon. You can kind of pick your path, and that's sort of the Darkest Dungeon aspect a little bit.
Yeah.
And also the fact that the game just turns on you in a way that's vicious.
Yeah.
But, like, basically every boss you beat and certain rooms you go into and treasure chests and stuff like that give you other cards. And with all deck-building games, the idea is to create some kind of synergy with this deck of cards that are being randomly given to you. And also relics, which can either hurt, most of the time help, but occasionally hurt you. And then you're fighting enemies and using the cards to attack them and using the block cards to try to prevent the damage that they're striking against you. And there are potions that you can cast that help with blocks and strikes and other stuff. And there are powers and debuffs. Very Darkest Dungeon. And it all just, it fucking works. It all comes together in a way I really like. And
so I bought it based on watching you play for, what, about an hour and a half?
Yeah, we had a pretty good run. Yeah.
It was all right. Yeah, I mean, you got to, like, chapter 3. Like, from what I understand, that's the end of the game.
Yeah, we were almost there. Yeah.
And it was like a series of, you're not going to make it. This round, this is the round where you're gonna die and you're gonna have to start over, and then you would just, like, with the last play, get out of it. And you did that like 3 or 4 battles in a row, which was super fun because it was the puzzling out what is the best cards to play in what order, how do they, you know, match with each other, that kind of whole aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And I don't think it's as complicated as Hearthstone. Like, you kind of know what you're going to get with the cards in this game. There's no... The variety of Hearthstone's kind of like modifiers is not in this game, I think, which makes it more approachable and a little bit easier to, you know, give a shit about making sure you play the right cards in order. Like Hearthstone, sometimes I just throw down stuff because I'm like, hey, whatever. Just want to see what this dragon does, you know?
Right. Yeah. And shout out to power listener Andy, who, after playing some Slay the Spire, was telling me to check out the Hearthstone Dungeon Run mode.
Yeah.
Which is very cool and similar to Slay the Spire in some ways.
Yeah, check that out.
And it totally worth doing, but I played a couple of those, and I was like, okay, that's fun, but also I need to get back to Slay the Spire. But yeah, it's... Man, some runs are brutally short. Some of them are long enough to break your heart, you know? Yeah.
I like the campfire aspect of the map where you can sleep and regain some health, and then there's a... Or you have to choose, right? You can do that, or you can upgrade one of your cards, right?
Yep, yep. But it's always that Sophie's choice of, well,
yeah,
health, or do you want a better card one way or another?
Yeah, well, and some of those are cool. Like, you've got a card that does, four damage and then some other thing. Like, it makes them weak. Like, it gives them a debuff of weakness. But if you upgrade it, it now does, like, 8 damage or 6 damage or something. You know, like, there's significant benefits to doing the upgrades, especially, like, the cards that, like, stack. Like, there's ones in there that do... if you have, like, defensive cards in your hand and you play this, you will get 5 defense for each of those cards. So it's essentially, like, a doubler for the defense cards. And there was another one where it's... do additional damage for each card you've played before this card, so you can start to really string them together and get like a massive attack at the end with that last card. That stuff's really cool.
You gotta get down with some barricade too. That card is invaluable if you can get it.
And I really like the what are they called? The charms? Is that what the official?
Oh, the. The artifact? No.
Artifacts. Relics. Artifacts.
There's
relics.
There's relics and artifacts. Artifacts are below the character, and the relics are in the bar above.
Yes. So I had one where, because you're provided with like little choices, like you're walking through the woods and a character appears, and it's, you know, the little drawing of some dude or some weird thing. Like, what? There's one of them where it's like a gelatinous blob on the ground, and you have the choice. You can reach inside of it because you think you see something in there, but it will curse you. So if you do this, you will have this curse for the rest of your run, but there's a 25% chance that you'll find a relic when you do that. I had one where it was this being shows up, and they said, hey, if you give us something, we will give you an item of equal value in return. And I had a wound card in my hand, in my deck, which is a card that had been played against me by, you know, an enemy on the way. And then you have to have that card. And it's an unplayable card when it comes around each turn. You can't throw that down. So I gave them that card because I wanted it out of my deck. So in return, they gave me a stack of shit charm. So for the rest of the game, I had a little relic on the top of my screen that was just a little pile of poop.
did it have any effect on the gameplay at all?
I forget what there was.
Or did it just take up a slot?
It was just funny. It was just this, yeah.
But it was pretty good.
And when you hovered over it, it had like a round, like a lasting effect for the entire round. It wasn't terrible, but it was just like a fuck you kind of a negative, you know. But yeah, it was really funny because I had plenty of cards I could have given him and probably gotten something cool back. And instead I gave them the one card that, of course, they wouldn't want it. And then the game was like, well, fuck you then.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, again, this is a game that understands what the monkey's paw is all about.
Yep.
That's of, funny. Like, here you go. Here's something that's going to help, but it's also going to kind of hurt.
Yeah, it was beneficial to get rid of that wound card. So it was actually, you know, even though that I got another negative out of it, it wasn't as bad as having that card come around continually in my deck, so... That's cool. I like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Good game. It's a good game.
It's super fun. It is a great... why this game is not on a tablet.
Yeah, seriously. This would be a great phone game. It would be perfect on a phone. It'd be so easy to do on a phone.
As I was playing the Hearthstone dungeon run, I would like on my couch as I was watching Star Trek, I'm sure. And I was thinking, man, if I only had Slay the Spire, I would so much rather be playing that. But I also don't want to, you know, I don't want to turn on the computer to play that and then watch this in the background, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's a mobile game waiting to happen. I know that the developers, Megacrit is the name of the company. It's like five dudes that have made this game, and God bless them, doing the Lord's work.
It's on sale for $12.79 on Steam right now.
Oh, worth every penny if you ask me.
Yeah, and I like this as like a podcast game. This is I'm watching a PUBG stream and I play this at the same time, and it's perfect for that. Like, it's not distracting at all, and yeah, just the right amount of brain power involved.
Yeah, you can walk away from the game for a minute.
And that's nice, because even as a rogue, I guess that's where it gets its rogue light moniker. You can just save it and finish your run later, which is real cool. It doesn't punish you for quitting. So.
All right. So say we all, except for Justin, who hasn't played it yet.
So
and
say
probably
we all.
Just doesn't care.
You know, I have some interest in it. The more I look at it, my question would be, easily playable in a window? Don't need to be full screen, right? Like, I could
you can window it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the horrible part of me is like, this sounds like the perfect game to play when I'm in a meeting. When I'm in a go-to meeting that's going on too long and it's boring, and I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not trying to like play games, but I just need to like
stimulate my brain, please.
Right, like I need to be moving the mouse. I need to be just, you know, I need to just find one of those clicker games where you just don't do anything but click. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like I need a fidget spinner for mouse movement or whatever.
I know an IT guy that plays solitaire on his Windows machine all the time. He's like, he's sitting there, like, you know, loading new drives or like setting up new machines or something like that in his cube. Like, he just does it all day long. So while he's waiting for things to like process, he'll sit there and fucking play solitaire in the background. And it's just like this mind numbing, like, give me something to do while I'm sitting here waiting for this loading bar, you know?
That's funny, because I knew a guy who would do that too. We would go through like a call center and we'd have like two or three games of solitaire going on two or three different computers.
Awesome.
As he's loading drivers, just like playing his game.
Yep. I'm waiting for this loading bar. It's boring. No, it would totally be good for that. Like, not too distracting.
Yeah. But I like the math of it too. It's a very logical game at heart. It's I take this much damage. How do I get this much block? Blah, blah, blah.
There is a best play for each back and forth.
It is like unlike unlike a clicker, there is a way to play that game well.
Yes.
But there is still enough RNG to it that
sometimes you're just going to get fucked.
You're going to get real mad at the game from time to time.
Yeah.
I
don't feel like it's cheap, though. Like, it's not.
No.
Like, it's just like, oh shit, this guy is super powerful, and I didn't heal myself two campfires ago, and I am not going to make it because the math behind these cards will just not allow me to protect myself and or do enough damage to this guy to get out of here alive. Like, it's real straightforward. You're not just getting fucked by, you know, some random thing. It's just that. This is how it shook out, man.
Yeah, and it'll teach you those lessons, too, of like, you know what? This combination of cards is not good at this stage of the game. You know, like, there are legitimately cards that are better at different floors, you know, like, as you progress through it. And not just the more powerful ones, but the like what you're concentrating on, whether it's strike or block or vulnerability or whatever. And yeah, it's there's an element of strategy to it that I really enjoy, and also a little bit of silliness and weirdness to it I also kind of like.
I'm looking at the screenshot. All right,
I just bought it.
I'm looking at the screenshot where your enemy is the book. And there's a giant hand, like smoky hand, coming up out of the book that's holding a giant dagger. But you're just essentially fighting a book.
I think that's actually called Book of Knives.
Yeah.
It's the name of that enemy, if I'm not mistaken. Or something like that. Yeah, it's just like, well, absolutely it is.
Yep. That's awesome.
I really like, even though they piss me off, I really like the enemies that are the muggers and pickpockets.
Yeah.
That just steal your gold, and if you don't kill them quick enough, they just run the fuck off with it.
Yeah.
Man.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, game is all right.
Yeah. I'll pay for it again when it comes out on phone. So.
Or when it hits the Switch or whatever. Like, whatever gives it to me in the portable form first.
Yep.
You got it.
Download it into the dashboard of my car.
Yeah, hey, speaking of downloading stuff to my Switch, I know I threw this in the Facebook group earlier. Them Bayonetta games came out on the Switch today. And I don't know if you ever played any of those, but those games are super fun.
I've never played Bayonetta.
Ugh, really good. And I haven't started it. You know, I probably should be talking about this at the end of the show, but fuck it. But I ended up picking them up because it was like, well, it's I think it was $40 or $50 for Bayonetta 2, which was the one that only came out on the Wii U, and it's really good, and I really wanted that. But it was like, well, for $20 more, you get the original, and that game's fun too. And having them both on the Switch is just kind of fun. I haven't played it yet, but man, I another one of those games of like, I kind of can't believe I can play it on this, you know, not because of the technical wow of Bayonetta 2, but also kind of, yeah, you know, it's a good looking game and it moves like it needs to move at a certain pace because it's a, you know, third person character action game that's, you know, mashy enough to get through, but every now and again you pull off really cool shit and it's super Japanese and weird and fun.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So
I've almost bought it on Steam a couple times because they put it out on there not too long ago. They released it on PC, right? Just Bayonetta 2, I think, right?
No, just Bayonetta. Bayonetta 2 is Nintendo exclusive. Nintendo paid for part of Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
And they're saying Bayonetta 3 is on the way. But yeah, those. If you never played them, at the very least, pick up Bayonetta and give it a shot and see what you think. That game, it's just so over the top and crazy. It's like. Yeah. It's sort of like playing a video game that is at least spiritually inspired by, like, Reanimator or something, where it's just that crazy.
Yeah.
There are some set pieces in it. They're just like, okay, I guess. Like, I think one of the first ones is you fighting angels on top of a jet. And at that point, I was like, all right, what you got? That seems real fun. So, also I get a cut of, all the Bayonetta dollars.
We get a cut of all the games that we've been selling.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, it started off a little shaky with Helleborn, but we worked our way around to, Bayonetta and Slay the Spire.
We've adjusted that property to generate revenue in its current state.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
Boy, the Shodcast board of directors is pretty smart.
So we're just rolling in this dough, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in charge.
Yeah, like the delivery people are getting tired of trying to fit all this money in my mailbox every day. So,
anybody else have a game they've been playing or forever hold your peace?
Nope. That's it.
Peace is held. All right, everybody, we will take a very quick break and be right back with the news.
In a world gone mad.
As you know, the Doomsday Clock is a symbolic clock face analogizing humankind's proximity to extinction.
One man must fight to survive on the global junk heap of the future.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Which versus the Doomsday Clock is that man's story. His search for entertainment is transmitted across time and space for your listening pleasure on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and your Android device.
This podcast is not fit for human consumption. Side effects include laughter, concern, nausea, vomiting, and blame from all purposes. The producers accept no responsibility for any side effects, illness, or internet ranking, mind cause. My bank guarantee is worth nothing. Zero, zilch, zilch, overall, not a sausage. In short, you get nothing. Nothing. Good day, sir.
You guys good?
Good to go. Peachy right. Keen, Avril Lavigne.
Weird. I was just thinking, like, I haven't thought of the name Avril Lavigne in some time.
Why would you?
I
burn. Damn.
Sick Avril Lavigne burns.
Why would you? Sucks. man, it's rough.
Sorry.
What was her big song?
I couldn't identify an Avril Lavigne song if you played one for me, so...
Skater Boy.
There was another one I feel like was maybe that was it. I don't know. I felt like there was another one that she was famous for, but
Complicated.
That's what I'm thinking of.
There you go.
Yeah, that got a Weird Al parody. That hits my radar.
Yep. You know, well, you did something special when that happens. Yeah.
Right. That is my my line of fame, if you have made it into the honored halls of Weird Al parody, then I care.
Have you heard the song Albuquerque off Running with Scissors?
Yeah, I've heard everything, man.
It's a good song.
I'm a fan. I've seen him live a number of times.
I've never seen him live. That must be fucking great.
I'm going again in April, where he's doing an acoustic tour of nothing but his originals. And it's called like the totally unnecessary, like, self-congratulatory tour or something like that. It's really funny.
It'll probably be fucking awesome. So
VIP passes. I'm meeting the man. I'm shaking his hand.
Really?
Yeah. Going all the way.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you think so. It's
worth every penny. No, that's Weird Al Yankovic. He's a global treasure.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's really the best of us.
Pretty much.
Speaking of the best of us, John Dolan is not.
No.
I don't know. God, man. Maybe you are in this crowd. No, maybe you are.
Do you want to know what I am, Bo? I am average. And I have evidence. When I was in high school, one of the things they used to do on our report cards each quarter was in the bottom left corner, they would print your class rank. And I graduated with a class of like 400 students. And I forget what the count was. It was like 413 or something at the time when we got these report cards. And because it was an odd numbered total, I was literally the exact center rank. I was like 200 and something. I was the exact middle student of my entire high school class. One quarter on our report cards. It was fucking great. I was Mr. C, right in the middle. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I was pretty proud of it.
I never got report cards because even my teachers forgot I attended the classes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm a much better student now, so.
Hey, live and learn, you know?
Yep.
Quite literally in this case.
Yeah.
Speaking about living and learning.
Yeah. News.
What do you want to know? You want to know some things that are going on out there?
I want to hear some shit, and I want to hear it straight from your mouth, John.
All right.
I think story number one is about some living and learning.
That's right. This is I'm calling this week's Bringing the Shod. Billy Mitchell of King of Kong fame breaks his silence about the Donkey Kong high score controversy. You guys aware of this? You know what's going on with this guy?
I know about the mix-up. I have a very special relationship with the King of Kong movie. That's just very heartwarming.
Yes.
Heartwarming.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had submitted a recent high score to Donkey Kong, which one of the moderators of a Donkey Kong forum was able to prove, pretty much everybody agrees upon this, that the video of the supposed high score run that Billy Mitchell submitted was created using MAME, the Multiple Arcade Machine Emulator software, which is technically cheating because you can program a run in MAME if you so desired to do, and you could fake it, or you could use save states to rewind time and output video, and it's an unacceptable form of a high score report. And usually what you have to do is videotape yourself playing the game so that you can see you and you can see the cabinet, and then the cabinet needs to be confirmed that it has like the actual Donkey Kong board in it. It's not just a PC with MAME running in there. So this is all conducted. But what is the name of the, is it Twin Galaxies? Is that
yep.
right?
Twin Galaxies.
Yes.
They are featured in King of Kong. They are like a high score records keeping house, who has kind of a checkered past.
I would say at this point, if I'm going to stand on my soapbox for a second,
mm-hmm.
I would say any and all records that they have cataloged are now null and void. And I would say every record that they have on record needs to be taped and resubmitted.
Validated, yeah. Resubmit. I agree.
Because this is like, we've basically just learned all these people who said that they were really great at these video games over all the years were either lying and submitting times that were literally impossible. There's another guy, a whole big long story, outside of Donkey Kong with a bunch of other games that were on Twin Galaxies, and people have like now done the math and been like, yeah, you literally can't even get these scores. Like,
yeah.
There's no
possible.
Way to do it,
yeah.
Even if a computer, like even, you know. So, you know, there's just a lot of bad stuff going on with their credibility when it comes to all these people that were sort of touted as the, you know, big gamers, I guess, of like the 80s,
yeah.
The mega gamers or whatever.
The story that I linked here is Billy Mitchell was interviewed on a video game talk show called, where is it? East Side Dave. It's a good name for a show. It's as good as any, right?
Mm-hmm. Way better than West Side Dave.
Yeah, that show sucks.
I mean, East Side Dave is one of your kind.
Where is it? Sorry, I was looking for a line here. Oh, apparently they talked for like a half an hour. Excuse me. And they talked about King of Kong and his hot sauce. And then finally, this guy asked him about this scoring discrepancy. And Billy Mitchell says, "I have never even played MAME. I don't have MAME loaded in my home." The film footage that he has, that Jeremy has, this is the guy at Twin Galaxies, shows MAME play. Or no, that's the, Jeremy is the moderator from this board. Now I contend that if he gets the original tape or he gets the original room shot, he will see that what I say is true. I'm not disputing what he says. What I'm disputing is the fact that I want him to have the original tape. And the fact of the matter is that the original footage was given to Twin Galaxies. Twin Galaxies has it, or should have it, and if it's anywhere other than Twin Galaxies, that's a real problem.
Real problem.
So, the guy at Twin Galaxies, let's see, what is it? He's responded to claims that he received a doctored tape from Twin Galaxies score holder Twain Richards in an email to Kotaku. So this guy shutting all this shit down is basically addressing the conspiracy that Billy Mitchell is creating here, that there's some kind of a plot to, like, falsify his tape and besmirch his good name or something like that. And this forum guy says, the amount of oversight, patience, and technical knowledge required would be staggering. By my reckoning, Dwayne would have to, number one, know for over a decade that this bug existed in MAME and not tell anyone. Know every potential independent source that would in the future publish clips of Billy's gameplay, know exactly what that footage would contain and whether that footage would contain the MAME signature. But he lists off all these things that are just these individually are extremely difficult to do and or plan for. And then he's got like seven of them in a row. Wait for years for the right amount of general skepticism and technical knowledge to coalesce. It's like, no, fuck you. You guys are cheating. Somebody's cheating here.
It's where it gets predictive that, you know,
yeah.
Credulity is strained. Where it's
I particularly like number four. In the case of 3A, why wait so long?
Right. There was a big fat cheater involved here. And
fun little fact with this too. His website for his hot sauce. I don't know if you would love to navigate to it if you're at home listening. 800hotsauce.com. It's 800hotsauce.com. You'll notice that it doesn't quite work anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Bandwidth limit exceeded.
Oh, somebody DDoS him.
Oh yeah, it's getting hugged, which I imagine will probably keep happening for a little while.
Man, the internet are jerks, you know.
I mean you got to think this story was on the 9th and it's the 16th.
A week later and his site is still down. I don't know. Billy Mitchell. The man you love to hate. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just never fails to be a good villain.
Yeah, like he's a perfect heel.
Yeah,
because he doesn't acknowledge that he is a heel, you know. Yeah, it's a good persona he's got going on. Hey, I hope he sticks with it.
Every villain thinks they're the hero. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. It's true.
I'm saving all you people.
Yeah, right. Giving you something to look up to.
Yeah.
The only good thing that came out of him for me is anytime I ever get a high score at an arcade, I always use the initials USA.
Nice.
All right.
That was his moniker. He left USA instead of his real initials.
Of course he did.
Yes.
You know, of course he did. I'm kind of on board with that now.
Yeah. It's not the hero we needed.
Yeah.
It's the one hero we deserve.
You either die the hero or play long enough to become the villain.
Right. Want some more Shad?
Oh, yes, please.
This goes right along the line of saying dumb shit. Valve has pulled all games by Incel Games, the developer of such blockbuster hits as, I can't find the names in this article. I don't even remember what the name
of Guardians of Ember?
Ember, yes.
Yeah, that is.
Wild Buster.
Wild Buster.
Steam has pulled all of the games that this company publishes off of Steam as punishment for the fact that they discovered that the CEO, one Mr. Patrick Streppel, had sent a email to his staff, the developers of this game, and basically threatened them with being fired if they didn't purchase and leave a positive review for the game on Steam. Somebody forwarded that email to Steam and posted it on the internet. And where is it? He sent out, this is the second email that he sent out. This is the first email. This is Patrick Streppel's email here. I had sent an email earlier, but was told that some of you announced to colleagues that you do not want to make a purchase of the game and or review. Frankly, this leaves me pretty disappointed. Of course, I cannot force you to write a review, let alone tell you what to write, but I should not have to. Neglecting the importance of reviews will ultimately cost jobs. If WB fails, Incel fails, IME fails, and then we will all have no job next year. So I'm asking you to do... I'm asking you either of the following. Buy the game and present me the receipt until Friday night, for which, together with a claim form, you will be reimbursed with 24 hours, or explain to me tomorrow why you do not wish to do this. I would like to discuss this individually and privately with each of you, and will follow up.
Getting it, a series of increasingly comfortable conversations.
Yes. Right. So then, let's see.
Can we have the conversation by the dumpsters, and can a baseball bat do most of the explaining?
Bring your car keys. Like, all the stuff in your desk that's yours, bring it outside while we're talking, please.
But I challenge you, John, who better to review a game than the people who made it, who would know better how good that game is.
So, the people who already don't want, who already have outspokenly said they don't even want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah. This story is on Kotaku. It's titled, Valve Pulls Developer from Steam for Reviewing Its Own Games. The article says that the email that we just read there was sent on December 14th, which correlates to a spike in positive Steam reviews for the game Wildbuster. Valve said this publisher appears to have used multiple Steam accounts to post positive reviews for their own game. This is a clear violation of our review policy and something we take seriously. Blah, blah, blah. If you've previously purchased the game, it will still remain accessible in your Steam library. So Patrick Streppel, where is his second reply? At the day of EA launch in December, an email was sent to everyone in the company telling staff, about 20 people, including freelancers, how important reviews are in the Steam ecosystem and that a failure of Wildbuster would mean the company was in jeopardy. It was meant to rally people's support, including advertising the game to their family and friends in hopes to simply get more reviews. It was never intended to threaten anyone, but just state the importance of reviews for the whole company. No staff has received penalties for not buying the game or writing a review. And it just keeps going. There also never were text or instructions provided for reviews. We sincerely apologize for the misleading wording in the email and the practice in general. We, the complete team behind Incel Games, will keep working on improving Guardians of Ember and Wildbuster while still providing access to our games through other channels. We hope to regain the trust of players through our future actions and are further in discussion with Steam about this incident. Until then, current Steam owners or those in possession of a Steam key can continue to play normally. Putting the extra couple of nails in his coffin right at the end there.
Like, oh, man, yeah.
That letter that you read that says all these things didn't actually say those things.
You see, the words that I used...
were not what I meant.
No. Yeah. See, you don't
you
know
read
me.
It. You read it wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I like that.
Threatening that you know, you if you didn't want to do it, you would have to explain it to me in a one-to-one conversation privately.
Yeah. And if you don't, we're all getting fired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I like that he apologizes first for, I'm sorry for how that was was worded, and also for this shitty thing we did too.
Yeah.
You know, like you lead with,
but mostly, I'm sorry I got caught.
Right. Yeah, basically.
There's just no excuse for it. Like, no matter what you try to spin that or how you try to spin that, there's no upside. Like, we were just so enthusiastic. I was so overcome with love of Wildbusters.
Yeah.
that I sent this email to rally the troops.
Yeah. The only thing you can do, like, I think ethically in that situation, is send an email to your employees saying, the game has been released, we have not received very many reviews on it, and then leave it at that. And if people choose to read into that and go, you know, maybe I'll go drop our game a good review to kind of help out the team. Like, that's, well, I think that's okay if they choose to do that on their own without any prompting whatsoever.
I think you could even go the further step of saying, hey, we're going to give every employee 3 keys to the game to give to friends and relatives or whomever.
Yep.
And it, with the understanding, like, hey, it's free. They don't have to review the game, but certainly encourage them to.
Yeah.
And
definitely
I think
a way to incentivize that. Yeah.
Right.
And people, and people do that shit all the time. They send out thousands of keys, especially for like a game that's got multiplayer, like Rocket League gave their game away for fucking free so that they would have a perpetual player base for the rest of the life cycle of that game. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that game's fucking incredible. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But still, like, get word out about your game. Get your reviews up by just giving out, you know. Yes, of course you want to make money on this game, but it literally costs you nothing to hand out a digital key for it. Like, it's not like there's a manufacturing cost behind it. You know, there's the entire development of the game, but you could hand out 1 million fucking keys for your game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree they could have handled this any number of ethical and smart ways.
Yeah.
And instead, their boss, the Mooch, was just like, hey, nice video game career you got here. Be ashamed if something happened to it.
Yeah.
It's head-scratching that people like that just walk around among us.
And survive so long without just major shoving their foot in their mouth moments, you know? It's, I mean, I can only assume they do it all the time on, like, a minor scale. Like, I'm certain, like, known that person where they just constantly say inappropriate things and you're just like, man.
Yeah, I guess it does strain the imagination that someone who would say rude, who said improper things in the wrong situations could somehow attain some degree of power.
Yeah. Especially if there's money in it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe put your name on it. Anyway. Yeah, like another shitty person also on the short list of the shoddy for 2018.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's a contender. Well, like, that's real shitty. Yeah. Yeah. Moving on.
To other terrible people.
Yeah, to like a similar, kind of along the same line situation, but there's a game called Game Dev Tycoon. I've never played it, but I've seen it on Steam a few times. It looks like it's fairly popular. But the developer of this game, his name is Patrick Klug, K-L-U-G. Says that Google...
It's pronounced Smith.
Yes. It's a silent G.
Yeah.
He says... This is a mobile game. It's on the Google Play Marketplace, and he is accusing Google of removing 77% of the positive reviews that were written by Android players from the Google Store for this game. He said, 6 days after releasing Game Dev Tycoon, Klug reports over 2,000 players had rated the game with a 5.0 score, which is the maximum. An hour later, 25% of those positive 5-star reviews were gone. Since then, 77% of positive reviews have been permanently removed. He couldn't figure out why this was happening, and he came to the conclusion through some, I don't know if he did some experiments or how he reached out to some other players and read their deleted reviews and couldn't figure out why they were removing them. Google initially told him that it was that their policy is that it deals if it's an abusive comment, they will remove it, or if it doesn't follow certain guidelines. Like they say, try to include both positives and drawbacks about the game when you review it. So they were saying that we were removing reviews that were just, you know, over the top glowing or something like that, which still doesn't make a lot of sense. But he thinks that it's based on their algorithm and the fact that the thing that is trying to identify and remove fake reviews works the same way for a free-to-play game that it does for his game, which costs $5, which I kind of am with his argument here. Like, if somebody has to pay for your game, they're not going to leave a fake review. Whereas if it's a free-to-play game, anybody can download that and play it, and they can just throw up whatever they want, like dropping negatives on that game. But people aren't going to spend $5 just to go in there on purpose and leave you a negative review to tank you. Like, that seems stupid. So it's an interesting... I don't quite know why Google is doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably something in their algorithm.
Yeah, it's just a large solution that is not nuanced enough to deal with every situation. So
right, the chainsaw instead of the scalpel kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, although to argue the other side of this, I feel like Steam could use a little of that chainsaw sometimes.
And let's just turn off YouTube comments altogether.
Yeah, sure.
For real.
Yeah, it's fine. Remember when you didn't absolutely know that everyone else on the planet was horrible?
It's hard sometimes.
It seems so long ago.
It does. But I do recall a time when I did not think that my fellow man was capable of truly awful things.
Yeah. All right, should we get into some rumor mongering here, some gossip? Oh,
please.
The rumor is that Disney might take the Star Wars license away from Electronic Arts.
A real mama, you've been bad moment.
Yeah.
You've been bad. I'll turn this car around.
Hey, you got us legislation, you dumb motherfuckers.
Yeah. How did you fuck this up so bad?
How did you doing? You stupid. All right. Hey, Ubisoft. You guys seem to have your wits about you.
Yeah.
Mais oui.
Here's the rest of the conspiracy. This is why I said you need some red yarn and some pushpins here. There's an article, seemingly unrelated, that Ubisoft is planning on releasing fewer games and concentrating more on games as a service and supporting games for longer periods of time, which coincides with this article about EA getting this taken away from them, because the rumor also includes that Disney may be talking to Ubisoft and Activision about taking over this stuff. So putting out fewer games would allow time to work on a Star Wars title. So I'm not saying it's real news. I'm just saying.
Right.
I don't think I want to see the Ubisoft Star Wars game, though.
You don't want a drone? You don't want a little droid that flies up and marks targets for you?
I don't want to be horribly disappointed by what was promised and then what was actually delivered.
You don't want to climb up the towers on Naboo to, like, unlock more of the map?
You know, there's a wonderful Arma 3 mod that is just all the Star Wars stuff.
Hmm.
You know, but here's the thing, Justin.
It's basically Battlefront 2 in Arma 3.
The game will be fine in 6 to 8 months after release.
Oh, that's right.
Yo, yeah, it'll
be, sure. It'll have all the content you could ever want. It's going to be garbage up front. But if you just, you know, kick back in the rocker and wait a little bit, that's going to be a pretty rocking game.
Just go play The Division for a little bit.
Yeah. Sure. Remind yourself, like, oh yeah, this was kind of empty and boring when they first launched it. And now there's some cool shit here.
Yeah. So what if Activision takes this over? What kind of game do you get? What kind of Star Wars game do you get out of Activision?
I mean, I don't know. What kind of game does Activision even make anymore aside from Call of Duty?
If you could Diablo 3-ify the Star Wars universe.
Is that Activision? I guess, yeah.
Blizzard, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, well, then you just give it to Blizzard.
Oh, definitely. Like, when you say Activision to me, you're saying give it to Blizzard.
Right. I'm just like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Blizzard with Star Wars. Sounds interesting because it would be different, I think. They wouldn't just make a first-person shooter. I don't know. I'm curious to see what that might be. I certainly don't want EA to fuck it up anymore.
But they might do a shooter, too. Like, what if they did kind of a Clone Wars-style shooter where they use that art style?
Hmm. Okay.
Like, much like Overwatch, another Blizzard product, and you do a hero shooter with, like, Clone Wars, and didn't they do another one of them computer-animated Star Wars shows?
Hey, you know what else
Rebel
Activision?
Something?
Yeah.
You know what else Activision does?
Rebels.
Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You get Bungie in on this.
Yeah.
You know what? What if they were like, fuck Destiny, we're going to make Battlefront 3, only it's going to be Destiny 3 on the sly.
Mm-hmm. Get yourself a little Halo level editor in there. Make your own Star Wars maps.
All right, now I'm interested. Now I want Activision to get Star Wars.
See?
All right.
Because it literally doesn't matter if you take it away from Electronic Arts because they've just fucked it up so bad.
Right. I mean, give me one good EA game last year.
Yeah. It's like they missed a 1-yard field goal to win the Super Bowl.
Is that a real thing?
I don't know. That's what they did. Like, hey, here's Star Wars. We'll check back in with you when you have a great game made. Ha ha. What is this trash? What did you do?
Yeah. I mean, for Disney to be like, look, we barely give a shit about the video games at this point, but you have fucked this up so royally.
Yeah.
We can't let it go on. You're generating bad press when we're about to release a Star Wars movie. How on earth did you do that?
Yeah.
And also, what happened to the microtransactions we asked for?
Yeah.
Right.
A, where's my fucking money? And B, where's my fucking money? Idiots.
Yeah.
So we had, you alluded to this, but that there is government legislation. There's a Hawaiian state representative who had introduced two bills that would limit... Let's see. Any game featuring a system wherein players can purchase a randomized reward using real money to anyone younger than 21 years old. Because they're saying, hey, this is gambling, which it totally is. Or the other law says, I believe it's something about how prominently labeled games containing such randomized purchase items, as well as disclose the probability rates of receiving each loot box reward. So... kind of the way PUBG is doing it, I guess. They don't really give you the odds. They just show you what's in it, like what's possible to get. But this proposed law would surface, like you have a 0.002% chance of getting this particular item out of this crate. So I would imagine that would lead to them selling a lot fewer of those crates. So they done fucked up real good.
Mm-hmm. You know, very, very smart people have pointed out it ain't just like Battlefront 2 that is going to pay the price for this. Like, imagine every mobile game in the world now faced with the idea that legislation could step in and ruin everyone's good time because those games make a lot of money.
Well, and they are even talking about collectible card games. where, like Magic the Gathering, you buy a deck of cards, you don't know what's in there. Like, it would apply to that as well. So that whole industry is affected. So, yeah. Thanks, EA.
Yeah. Good job, jerks.
I believe I referred to it on a previous episode as the Eye of Sauron now. Is staring right at all this. What is that? What's that down there? I wasn't worried about that a minute ago, but I am now. What's going on?
Well, all right, but so now, I don't want to step on the next story, but it, yep. It ain't just some Yahoo in Hawaii, some barely a state part of the country.
Ouch. Some burns tonight. Awesome burns tonight. Yes,
hot,
Senator...
Hot Hawaii takes.
That's right. Senator Maggie Hassan, a Democrat from New Hampshire, has sent a letter to Patricia Vance, the president of the ESRB Rating Board. I'm sure everybody who plays video games is familiar with their little, this game is for teens, this game is mature rated. They are the people that do that. And she has asked them to review their ratings process in light of the loot box debate, where, what is her quote here? As technology advances, ESRB must work to keep pace with new gaming trends, including in-game microtransactions and predatory gaming tactics, particularly as they are deployed on minors. This is bad. The more attention this gets, like, we're going to talk about it in a little bit with, like, the violence in video games debate coming up again, but, like, that's one of those issues where it's just like, oh, they're never going to do anything about it because they just kind of shove it off and, like, it's not this solvable problem to them, but hey, this looks like gambling. We should fix this thing. They've really fucked us up.
Well, again, the loot box isn't a problem until you're asking for money. You know, if it's all in-game loot and all that stuff and you want to randomize that, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah.
But there are
so many companies that do this.
Yeah, and it all exists because somebody has figured out the math and the psychology behind, well, if we tell them what's in the box, we won't sell as many. Like, that's why it is this way. But they could totally just sell this stuff. Like, that would be completely legal and no one would have a problem with it. But the problem is that you don't know what you're going to get. So it's
right.
Gambling.
You can have blind boxes.
Yeah.
Or you can charge for it.
Yeah.
You just can't do both.
Yeah. I mean, I used to think this whole issue just boiled down to cosmetic items versus does this, you know, offer me an advantage in game, like in multiplayer or something like that, that ruins the experience for other players because of what you've sold me. But the whole blind box issue is, I don't know, it's almost more egregious, I guess. I mean, it certainly is. It totally is. It's, they use the word predatory in this article several times, and I totally agree with that. Like, fuck your purple skirt in PUBG that's $12. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do with this stuff. It's weird. Like, especially with, like, PUBG is an interesting example because it's the economy around it. Like, there's rarity in those items, and some of them are ridiculously expensive. So, how long is it before that starts getting watched more closely because of these blind loot boxes from EA? I don't know. I'm getting really depressed now.
Bunch of jerks. Why did they ruin everything? Like, I'm not getting any money out of this, but I also enjoy, like, there is a way to enjoy the kind of game that can be affected by this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's just, you fucked it all up, EA.
Yeah. What else is new?
You really stepped in it this time.
All right. We're going to blow through these now. Let's get going here.
All right, enough screwing around.
University of York, which I can only assume is the one in England. I don't actually know. I didn't look that far in this article.
Or it's actually just Michael York.
That could be it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been apparently studying video games, Mr. Michael York. No, oh, University of New York.
He's a leading expert.
Yeah. name of this article on the University of York's website is "No evidence to support link between violent video games and behavior." They did a bunch of kind of interesting studies where they did things like priming. If players are primed through immersing themselves in the concepts of the game, they should be able to categorize objects associated with this game more quickly in the real world once the game has concluded. So they're letting people play, what's this one game? They had to either be a car avoiding collisions with trucks or a mouse avoiding being caught by a cat. Following the game, the players were shown various images, such as a bus or a dog, and asked to label them as either a vehicle or an animal. And so the theory is, if their brain has been affected by this game in some way, it would enable them to categorize the object in the game that they had played more quickly than the other objects. So they would be able to do vehicles better than they would be able to do animals or something along those lines. That apparently wasn't true. And so they read into that, that the game can't prime you in that way. They did a couple other experiments where one was based on realism. The team investigated whether realism influenced the aggression of game players. Research in the past has suggested that the greater the realism of a game, the more primed players are by violent concepts leading to antisocial effects in the real world. They also did a combat game where the control and the test version were one of them had ragdoll physics and one did not. And they did one where soldiers in the game behaved in a way that was realistic versus soldiers that behaved in a way that was unrealistic, and they kind of test people's responses after the fact and came to the conclusion that this has no effect on you. But then, of course, you know, I'm sure I could Google 500 other articles that say the exact opposite of this thing, but this sounds like it was at least kind of the thing that caught me about this and gave it some validity, as far as I'm concerned, was the fact that they actually did it out with 3,000 participants, which is a pretty good sample size.
Yeah.
Most things are like, yeah, we pulled these 12 people in off the street and had them play Doom, and then they wanted to fight, you know.
We asked 100 single men.
Yeah.
What do you not want your wife to find?
Sorry. I've been That's watching a really lot of- shitty Family Feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My other wife was the number one answer on that show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
my secret family.
That's right.
I mean, good Lord, why would you ever do two of them?
So, I mean, we've talked about this debate a bunch of times on this show. I always kind of fall on the side of, like, it always comes down to anecdotal personal experience for me. Like, I don't go out and fuck shit up because I play violent video games. Like, it's kind of the opposite for me. Like, the real world pisses me off and it makes me want to come in and fuck some shit up. And it's like this nice release and you can just get rid of all that stress by just blowing some demons' brains all over the wall. I don't know. It just works for me. But I could certainly see how somebody with different chemical reactions in their brain might be affected differently by that. So I'm certainly open to that. But the interesting evidence that comes up is the next story after that one. I don't actually know these two people. I was never much of a Rooster Teeth fan, but this guy, Gavin Free, who's a former editor with the Rooster Teeth group. And what is apparently, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or his wife, but they are YouTubers and stream games and stuff. But apparently they had somebody broke into their house, fired like a shot to get into the house, and then was searching their property for him. They hid in the fucking closet while this guy was in their house. And then eventually he left, but was confronted leaving the building by the police and ultimately ended up killing himself. And they found out that this guy was apparently obsessed with, what's the woman's name? Megan Turney. And at the same time, because this guy was her boyfriend or husband, wanted to like murder him. This shit's fucked up. Like,
because he loved her so much?
Yeah, I mean, John, he like had developed feelings, but it's this is like just stalker ass shit, and it's the, you know, price of fame, and it's like those weird I mean, there's been tons of these throughout history where some celebrities assassinated John Lennon. What was the Hispanic singer, Selena? Is that her name? Was like stalked by some super fan and then murdered. Like 10, 15 years ago.
But that woman like worked for like
what? Yeah, but it was just
insinuated was, herself into the family and stuff.
Yeah, it was obsessive. It was like fucking talented Mr. Ripley, Hand That Rocks the Cradle level shit. Like it was real.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This stuff is scary. It's just like these people are trying to live their lives and live a public life, and I mean this is the fucking real downside to that. Like there's some. So this guy, like here you go. This is he's a fan of video games, knows these people through video games, and because he's, you know, mentally unstable, went to this level. You know, there was another this article alludes to it, but I didn't post it in here. There was another swatting incident in Kansas where somebody swatted some guy who was streaming. The SWAT team shows up and kills the guy when he answers the door. That's fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yes, the world is spiraling out of control.
It's an interesting, like, the link between these two, you know, articles. And then this is the side of it that always bugs the shit out of me. The third one here is the governor of Kentucky. There was the recent horrible shooting in Florida, 17 people killed. And the Kentucky governor of Kentucky comes out immediately and says that video game violence is partly responsible for this mass shooting. Really? Like, you have direct evidence of this? Like, this is like a leap too far for me. It's the Marilyn Manson is making kids into Satan worshipers. Well, no, he's not.
Well, John, what do you want him to blame it on? Guns?
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Gun laws, guns, mental health situations in this country. Like, yeah, there's certainly no other targets. We should just go right for video games because that's the most plausible explanation. Yeah. Like, that kind of scapegoating bugs the shit out of me. Like, I'm willing to entertain that violent video games might cause violent behavior in certain people. But then when it's just like this blanket type statement, it always rubs me the wrong way. Like there's never any gray area to it. So. Three super depressing stories right in a row.
Yeah. Anything about children maybe trapped somewhere?
Right.
Like right now, like a live video stream of children trapped somewhere.
Yeah, we go live to children's tears
yes.
being spilled over the embers of a small town.
I've got good news with a caveat. We talked about this a long time ago on this show, but Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, has a function in it. There's a multiplayer aspect to that game, and one of the things you can do is you can build up your base. And you can build nuclear weapons at your base. And so it was data mined out of that game when it was originally released that there was a function in that game where if all of the players of Metal Gear Solid 5 Online all got rid of their nuclear weapons or people went and invaded other bases and destroyed or stole their nuclear weapons and then destroyed them, that there was a cutscene, a reward that would play because that the entire world had experienced a nuclear disarmament. This got triggered recently. It didn't actually happen, though. Apparently, they're saying that the game was hacked, and through the use of... The best explanation I could find was that somebody said using essentially a Stack Overflow attack, which filled the counter for this that would normally say there are now zero nukes in this game. What they did was realize that there was an upper limit and they tricked the game into believing that there were so many nukes in the game that it actually went past the system's ability to calculate how many there were and reset the counter to zero, triggering this event. Which is kind of cool.
I like it.
Yeah. It's like, you know what the solution is to get rid of all the nukes? More nukes.
Right. We got to nuke our way through this problem.
we're gonna fuck our way out of this pregnancy. It's like, what? Nuke for peace.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. Fuck for virginity. What? Yeah.
What was the cutscene? I didn't actually.
It's just
it.
Like a speech on the base where there's like a monument behind him, and it's like, we finally achieved this, but we must be vigilant and, you know, make sure that, you know, this hellfire or whatever is never wrought upon the people of this great planet again. And it's very Metal Gear 5. But
Snake.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a cool video game. I don't know. I like those. Like, I mean, if this thing had worked properly, there's no way that this cutscene would ever get triggered. There's no way.
Right.
Everybody would collectively agree to remove all of their nukes in this game. Like, there's always going to be that one guy that fucks it up for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always one in a crowd that is not going to let it happen. Yeah.
So, and it's like if you're one in a million, but you live in China, there's 100 people just like you, or 1,000 people just like you. I forget the math, but yeah. So
it's got to be 1,000. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. So if there's one guy that's willing to not get rid of his nukes, there's hundreds more that are also playing that game. So there's no way that it would have ever happened if these guys didn't figure out how to hack it in this way, which I think is awesome. So.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for the internet for once.
Yeah.
Way to not be terrible.
Yeah. Did you guys check out this Rocket League, like, physical game with Hot Wheels cars?
Yeah, it seems cool.
It does look kind of cool. Like, it's a little game board, and you have RC, like, Hot Wheels size cars, and you have a ball, and you can play like real Rocket League right in front of you with the little cars. Bounce a little ball around on the board. Cute.
I feel like this translates perfectly into some sort of drone level competition where people just have like souped up RC cars and they're just doing this in the real world as opposed to just in Rocket League.
Yeah.
Imagine putting some hydraulics under a little RC car so you can do jumps.
And rockets on the back. Yeah.
Yeah, duh.
There's some good drone technology out there, man. My neighbor just bought one of these little DJI Mavic drones.
Yeah.
That thing's incredible, dude. It basically self-guiding. He does this thing where he walks around the neighborhood. He's got a new baby, and he's pushing the baby stroller. And he sends his drone up to about 30 feet, and it has like this image recognition built into it. And so he is holding his phone in his hand with the drone controller, and so he can see himself on his phone because the drone's up above him with its camera. And he taps his picture on his phone and then starts walking, and the drone maintains distance and height and just follows him around the block based purely on just like the image recognition in its camera.
Pretty cool stuff. It's your own third person camera.
It's real neat, and it like self levels, and he did this thing where he landed it in the driveway and then flew it way off. Like, it's got like a 2-mile range on this thing. Flew it way off in the neighborhood, like out of sight behind some houses. And he could still see where he was on the camera on the thing. And then tapped an instruction on his phone saying return to home base. And it flew all the way back up by itself. And it's got like GPS satellites, and it flew all the way back up and landed in the exact same spot that it took off from on my driveway. It's really cool. So then all you need is a ball that floats and a little thing. You fly your little drones around and do some Rocket League.
Boom.
Yeah. So I need a drone. I need a drone, and I need a Rocket League for drones.
Take game life to real life.
That's right. Toys to life.
Yeah.
Like never before.
TTL is back, baby. Bigger than ever.
Thanks, Rocket League.
Yeah. Well done.
This seems like a fun little branding thing. Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, you remember the vibrating football sets where you set the little players up and you plug it in and it would, like, buzz and they would move around? Like, it's got that kind of a vibe to it where you're driving your little RC cars around on the thing, hitting the ball.
But it does make sense in terms of brand crossover. I mean, yes, they're both at this point, you know, multi-million dollar companies, but Yeah, Hot Wheels and Rocket League. Yeah, fine. Because didn't they have some Hot Wheels stuff in Rocket League, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like you can buy digital Hot Wheels cars to drive around in that game and be your car avatar in that game. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Some good news. Yay.
Yeah. Now I know what to get my nephew for Christmas. Great. Yeah,
Rocket League.
Yeah.
The real version, the home version. Running Man, the home game. That was always one of my favorites.
Right.
What is that game?
The most dangerous game. That's what it is.
Right.
You play that with your family? What do you do with that? Yeah. Did you guys watch any Sea of Thieves beta video? Any of that stuff?
I did. I think that game looks real interesting, to say the least.
There's a... So I've got two stories here. One is... I'll just do the microtransactions part first. They're going to release the game sans microtransactions and get everything working. And then their schedule is 3 months in. They're going to add microtransactions, but they've explicitly said that these can be purchasable with currency you earn in game, and they're all cosmetic.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And like the first stuff you can buy is like a monkey or parrot or some shit like that.
Pets. Like you can get a cat and the cat will roam around your ship and the monkey will sit on your shoulder. You know, just like that's cool. There was like a skin that makes you look old so you can be like a crusty old pirate. You know, that kind of stuff sounds neat.
Can totally deal with that. Can always get behind that kind of, you know, microtransaction or DLC kind of junk.
I thought there was a line in this article, but maybe not. Slightly worryingly, Neat seems very keen on players being able to shoot cats out of cannons. Reasoning that, quote, it'll land on its feet. It's a cat. It'll be fine.
I mean, I like that logic.
Yeah, especially if you can have, like, an attack cat, like, shoot it onto the enemy ship and it goes and, like, claws everybody in the face or something. I don't know.
Like, the attack cat is only as good as the velocity with which the cat strikes the person. Because as soon as they land, they're in it for themselves.
Yeah. You gotta, like, cut a cannonball open and, like, fashion it, like, get some straps and, like, strap it on the arms and the back of the cat. So when the cat curls up in a ball, it's actually a cannonball. And then you shoot that over, and then it
cannonball.
Yeah, it spreads out, and now it's got like it's a cannonball armor cat.
Oh, now the hairball's on the other paw.
That's right, the monkey's paw.
Oh, it all comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game looks cool. The only thing I was worried about when I watched it was there wasn't. The content didn't seem very deep, but it was like a beta, and they said they'd remove tons of stuff. But I'm really interested to see what this is. It looks like a super fun 4-player co-op, waste an ass load of time rolling around on some of the best goddamn looking water I've ever seen in a video game. So
the water did look super cool. Jeez. And the fact that you can just hang out with your pals and get drunk in a tavern is kind of fun. Yeah. The one thing I wish the game had, because I just want this to exist in one form or another, is a VR version where I can be a pirate and get scurvy and syphilis and, well, you know, some variation of that. Yeah. But I want a VR pirate game, goddammit.
I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a ton of fun.
And if it was this one with how good this water looks, that would be all right. Like, I just want to say the water looks incredible in this game. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. I am super impressed.
Yeah, and even just like the storms rolling in and all that stuff. It looked really pretty.
Yeah, so I'm totally down for trying this out. There was the exploit that was identified in the beta that they did. So one of the things you do in Sea of Thieves as you go out and dig up treasure chests, and then you have to bring them back to town to get credit for them. But there are cursed chests in the game. One of them makes you walk like you're drunk, but the bug occurred with what is called the Chest of Sorrow. And when you bring the Chest of Sorrow back to your boat, it cries, and slowly fills your boat with water while you're hauling it back to the base. So you've got to constantly go down below deck and bail water out. So the exploit that people discovered is whoever brought the chest on board, you could strap it to your back and then stand on the ladder on the side of the boat, and all of the chest of sorrow tears would just fall into the ocean and not fuck up your boat. Which I think is a super cool workaround, but they're apparently going to take the ability to do that out of the game. And the reasoning, I guess I kind of agree with it, is because it removes one player's ability to participate in the entire rest of that trip, which could, it's kind of not fun. So I understand why they're taking it out, but I still, it's kind of a bummer because maybe it's worth it to people to, you know, sacrifice one crew member to not have that hassle, especially like if you're in a fight with another ship or something. I don't know.
I just don't like that one guy.
Yeah. Just I like the unpredictability of systems in games. That's why I think this is kind of a cool thing. So.
Yeah. Well, even their response quote was like, all right, all right. We kind of knew that was there. We didn't know if anyone would find it. And then immediately everyone figured it out.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that's cute. We're going to take that out now. But well that's done.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
A begrudging tip of the chapeau.
Good job.
But yeah, I agree. I like that stuff. I'm curious. Just as you were saying, I'm curious how much there is in the game to do. The stuff I saw seemed okay.
Yeah.
But if you do that more than three or four times in a row, I would get a little peeved, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely waiting until after release before I pick this up because I want to see what it is before I buy it. So, and then when it goes, if it's terrible and it's not, it's very shallow and not very good, wait till it's on sale for $20. Uh-oh.
Yeah, what was all that?
I thought I was broadcasting sound, but that wasn't me.
Oh, weird.
Okay. It was neat. It was fun.
Yeah.
It's the government breaking in on this channel. Get off.
I thought we got one of those number stations, you know?
This is my favorite story this week, mostly because when Justin and I talked about it while we were playing PUBG, you seemed very against this. I titled this the That's a Goddamn Abomination story of the week. There is a PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds game coming out on mobile.
It's horrible.
And yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is a total abomination. But I'm actually surprised by how faithful it is to the original game. I think it will be unfucking playable on a phone without some sort of joystick attachment.
It ain't coming to America, so
yeah.
I think it is made for a very particular set of gamers who play these games, first-person shooters, on a phone.
Yeah.
Who are these monsters? How do we identify them?
Godless heathens. It's just like,
I don't know. But it is like pretty much the same game.
It does look
It's basically just like PUBG on like super low graphics.
Yeah. I'm just kind of, I mean, like, I'm curious. The gameplay footage is like a capture, so you don't actually see it running on a phone. So I'm going to withhold judgment on their accomplishment for being able to pull that off until I can actually see. Really? Like, really? This runs on a phone? Really? Okay. Which phone? How much does that phone cost?
Yeah, $800. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
It's actually a flip phone.
The Nokia. You can play Snake or PUBG.
Right. It's a Sidekick. Is that what those were called?
Flips out. I'm going to do some PUBG with my Switchblade phone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got a broken Sidekick in the basement.
Nice. Did you emotionally break him or?
No, I just broke.
Oh.
Yeah, you keep them awake long enough, they just
bring
cracks like old ceramic.
That's right.
This episode has been dark.
Right?
We're getting down to the end. Well, here you go. Here's your your eye bleach, your ear bleach for the rest of this episode. Steam, Lunar New Year sale, cheap games. Yay.
Good stuff.
Yeah, how much can you get Slade the Spire for right now?
It was cheap.
$13?
I think it was $13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arf World Trading Company is apparently on sale for...
Yeah, I saw that. I just have so much in front of me to play.
I do as well.
I can't in good conscience buy other stuff, and yet...
You kind of have to.
Yeah, I don't know. I may miss most of this one. I think that I've got... I'll tell you, here's the one that's tempting me, and I've got no good reason for this, is Ark being $20.
Don't do it.
I'm almost $20 curious about Ark.
Nope.
I saw a review for Ark, a Steam review for Ark, and it just said, paid $40 for this game, and it heated made my computer heat my entire house for the entire winter.
Nice.
Very, very poorly optimized game when it came out.
Yeah.
They did some weird stuff with a DLC, or like we're in early access and then we're trying to sell something else with the game.
Yeah, I forget about what that was. Yeah, it was sketchy at best. They like released an entirely new version of the game or something that you had to buy.
Yeah, it was like a whole section of the game that only... Yeah.
It was weird. Assassin's Creed Origins is on sale for $40.
It's a steal at twice that.
Mm.
It's a lot of game and it's real fun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some shit.
Yeah, I'm over 30 hours in now and I'm theoretically half-ish done.
Wow.
But that could also be a lot of, you know, you are ticking every little collectible box in that game. And I certainly have no intention of doing that. It may be one of those things, like, I wrap up Assassin's Creed around 75-80%.
Sniper Elite 4 for $20, that's a good game. Yeah. So, and there's
probably a good deal.
If you're a PC gamer, there are some deals to be had for... How long does this shit go? I forget. It's short sale. 15th through the 19th of February. Get in there. Get them while they're hot.
Another one I think that is probably going to happen for me, this is outside the Steam world, but there is a PS4 flash sale, and they have the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 for $20.
Hmm.
And that is also a, I remember those games fondly. Probably $20 fondly.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Like cheap video games.
Man, it's a great time to be alive if it weren't so terrifying all the time.
I feel like there's a conspiracy to try to get me to I'm going to say trick me into buying Dark Souls 3. Because they keep making it cheaper. And I'm like, people say that game's good. And then I go and I look at it. I'm just like, nope.
Man, I've got, thanks to the Humble Bundle... I've got a couple of them Dark Souls games at this point.
I have the original one, and I played it briefly and just bounced right off of it. I was like, this is irritating.
Yeah. It's not my kind of thing. And
my Steam clock on Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition is 35 minutes.
Nice.
Nope. I want to like it. It's not for me. It's not.
Just realized I've got almost 50 hours into Darkest Dungeon, and that ain't the real time.
Yeah,
it's more than that. At any rate, so we have another story? I'm sorry.
That was the cheap shit section. This is the free shit section. If you this is something you found, Bo. If you go on Origin, you can get the original Dead Space for free on PC.
Right.
That's a good game. That's a good game. Certainly a good game for free.
Yeah. It's the best price in the world.
Yeah. That game is 10 years old.
Yeah, that feels right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're all getting older, except for Justin, who...
It's true. It's growing younger. It's
a Benjamin Button in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, you called it. That's the way to do it. We should all be so smart.
Yeah, I know. Right before you pop out, they ask you, so do you want to go forward or do you want to go backwards? And like everyone's forwards, I just said backwards.
Yeah. Working out for me. They ought to ask you, do you want to Benjamin Button this? I know you haven't seen that yet, but you will.
Do you want to figure out what that is?
Right. That's probably why no one takes it.
Yeah.
Do you want to Benjamin Button this? The fuck are you talking about? All right, Ford it is. And you were the one that was like, you know what? I do. I don't know who or what this Benjamin Button is, but I like the cut of his jib. Let's do this.
There's the the classic George Carlin. Speaking of George Carlin, the I want to live my life backwards joke. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I don't know if I do right off the top of my head.
I want to live my next life backwards. You start out dead and get that out of the way. Then you wake up in a nursing home feeling better every day. Then you get kicked out for being too healthy. You enjoy your retirement and collect your pension. Then when you start work, you get a gold watch on your first day. You work for 40 years until you're too young to work. You get ready for high school, drink alcohol, party, and you're generally promiscuous. Then you go to primary school, you become a kid, you play, and you have no responsibilities. Then you become a baby, and then you spend your last 9 months floating peacefully in luxury in spotlight conditions, central heating, room service on tap, and then you finish off as an orgasm.
All right. Well done once more, George Carlin.
Yep.
Still holding it down, even in the grave.
Yep, it sounds all right. The man knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Yep.
All right, well, is that it by my
That's it.
Count?
That's
the
it.
End of the news. We made it.
Yay, we did it. We're winners.
Again. I mean, we've never not made it yet.
No one has died during the recording, although just a matter of time.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, I hope to be lucky enough to go that way.
Oh, are you kidding? He died as he lived.
Died on air.
On his ass.
Right. On yeah. air. With a microphone shoved in his face.
Oh, yeah. I hope my last words are just...
The darkest.
I can think
the darkest episode.
Yeah, there should be a goatee on this episode.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for
it's
sure.
dark, but it's not the bottom though. It's just dark.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
No,
it's just the darkest.
Yeah,
you can always do worse.
It's our death to Smoochie, if you will.
Nice. Our world's greatest dad.
Yeah.
Speaking of happy-go-lucky romantic comedies, what are we going to be playing in the coming couple of weeks? We'll kick it around the table one more time. Justin McFerrin.
Well, since I just picked it up, I'll probably S the S a little bit. In the coming
they
days.
Love it.
Yeah, slay the spire a little bit.
Yeah, and I may yet still fire up the Doki Doki Literature Club. I said I was going to play it last time, but I just haven't done it yet.
You're a goddamn liar. You're a goddamn liar.
I know.
You know, it's not that I'm angry about it. I'm just disappointed.
That's true.
Both of those are worth your time, and Doki Doki is... again, power listener Andy said that he got about 30 minutes into it. And I was like, oh, you're right there, man. You're so close.
Don't stop
yet. Yeah. You're right at the point where things are going to really get fucking weird. What about you, John? What are you going to be playing?
I have 8 Colossi to kill still. I'm halfway through that game. Nice. It's been a lot of goddamn fun. And I want to finish that off. Slay the Spire, I haven't gotten super deep into that yet. I think I've only played for about an hour and a half. I had a run. The farthest I've gotten is the final boss on the first chapter. So I haven't even cracked super far into that game yet. But yeah, I definitely want to do some more of that. I might try Heliborn out again to see if there's more there. Just because I like flying helicopters so much.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, I don't know. That feels like a PUBG night to me, man.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm gonna dig into some of that Bayonetta on the Switch.
That sounds cool. I might have to look into that, yeah.
And definitely I'll be playing some more Slay the Spire, and I think Tuesday is gonna be another Assassin's Creed day where it's just like, all right, let's take a big old 5-6 hour bite out of this game. And it's getting close. It's getting close. I'm feeling good about where things are headed with that game. Story's been good. I fought a giant spirit snake. That was unexpected. Killed a lady and her hyenas. It's a good time.
Yeah. I feel like I have more to see.
Yeah. That game, you know, it ain't the best story ever told. There's no Jesuses roaming around in that story. But not yet, anyway. We might get there.
No G's-eye? Not a single G's-eye in the entire game.
You got yourself, some Cleopatras, you got some Ptolemies. You got some of that happening, but the story is pretty basic, but it makes some moves that are worthwhile and enjoyable, and the story is becoming another thing now where it was a story of vengeance at first. It is quickly shifting into something else. So, and I like that. I like the fact that it's not too lazy to, you know, keep the story or try to keep the story fresh, you know, 30 hours into a game. Well done. Well done, Assassin's Creed. And then, yeah. That's it. So I guess we will just remind you to check out sdfgaming.com, where by the time you hear this or shortly thereafter, that Slay the Spire video should be up there. And you can see some Assassin's Creed stuff. You can find us on Twitter, over on Facebook. There is a group where sometimes we talk about sales and video games and whatnot. And am I leaving anything out? SDFGaming at SDFGaming.com to... What are they requesting again?
They're sending us Bitcoin.
That's yes, right. Bitcoin. All of it. Mailing us Bitcoin.
Yep. As much as you can. I mean, we got big pockets, so...
Email it all to us.
Yep.
And be sure to wear cargo pants if you're going to... toss yourself off a building.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should conclude every episode with what did we learn?
This week, suicide tips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Executive suicide tips. For the candy inclined.
If you buy the suicide crate, you have a 3% chance of getting the executive suicide tip.
I think we found the title for the episode right here at the end.
it always happens at some point. So
yeah,
why not now?
It reveals itself in a almost butterfly like way. I appreciate.
Oh, I was gonna say like God himself.
Oh, that was better. Well done. All right. Enough of that nonsense. We'll see everyone again in 2 weeks. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Good night. I got tickled.